Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wiki Curiosity Media or its affiliates. Wiki Curiosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wiki Curiosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wiki Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Movie of the Week. I am Dan. You. That's your cue. That's your cue. I know we've been out for a while, but that's your cue.
What's going on, man? I'm Zach.
What's up?
I'm Angel.
And you can join us. All you gotta do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735 brings you into the studio with us. You can also hit us up on our live stream on twitch.com. Just head on over to Wiki Curiosity Media. You can follow us on Facebook at Wiki Curiosity Media and Behind the Screen Radio Show. You can check out our YouTube channel at Wiki Curiosity Media. You can check out our website at www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WCMedia. It's a mouthful. Just click on the link on our Facebook pages. You can find all of our archived shows on blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosityMedia and also on iTunes at WikiCuriosityMedia. All right, so it has been about a month, actually.
Probably it's been almost like 2 months.
No, it's been about a month. The last time we broadcast was in May.
Yeah.
Because last time we broadcasted the Cinephiles was June 1st. And we did a show before that.
Didn't we do Old?
I think that was our last one. Yeah. It was Old, yeah. Yeah. And we had been trying to get together. Schedule's not working out. I went on vacation.
Some stuff happened.
But other than that, it was a nice little break. You know, had to wait for movies to come out so that we can review them and shit like that. We're finally back on the air.
Glad to be back, man. It's been too long.
It has. Not really a whole lot has gone on. I mean, like I said, I went on vacation for about 10 days. Yeah, it was about 10 days. It was about a 10-day vacation. Let me tell you, it was definitely much needed. It was a big stress relief. Really, the only stress that I had was driving to Oklahoma and back. Mainly because, you know, I got this big-ass van. And
scared to go fast. We're out here.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got a van where, you know, you don't really trust the tires in the rear end. And it's front-wheel drive, and it's got a big ass end, and it's fully loaded in the back end. Yeah.
His wife drove a lot.
I was about to say his wife didn't have any problem with it. But I heard the son about wrecked.
Yeah, the producer about wrecked.
I did not, though.
The only good driver here.
It's because she wouldn't let me drive. She's like, no, I got this. No, I'll drive.
Because I didn't need, I did not need a whole ass panic attack on the winding roads in the mountains of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because where my mom lives, there, like, it is a drive to get to anywhere. It's at least 45 minutes anywhere.
Get to just a grocery store.
Yeah.
Just a grocery store.
Sounds like heaven to me.
Well, no, I love it. But when you leave where she's at, all of those roads are super windy, and it's either up or down.
This is not true. This is absolutely not true.
I thought it was all flatlands.
But hold on. No, hold on. Hold on. When you come out of her main road, you can turn right, and you can go through all the fucking mountains and shit. Or you can turn left and go straight.
It's awful flat. That goes into
nothing but straight.
And that is, I mean, it is a straight shot to Clayton. And but there is, it's a town. There's literally nothing out there.
When I say straight,
it was the longest.
I mean, straight.
40-minute drive.
Keep in mind, I went to Palm Bay, Florida, and down there it was just like, as far as I could see, straight flat road.
Look, I have been through South Dakota, where there's literally a town on the eastern side and then on the western side and nothing in between. Like, when I say straight, like, you turn a little bit.
Right,
but that's only because the town is, like, here and here, and that's all you do.
I see, and I'm stuck here in Tennessee with mountains, curves, and potholes.
Potholes are the worst here. They tear up my, I have torn up my tires multiple times.
Yeah.
If you ain't careful, a pothole will jerk the car off the side of the road.
It will. It will.
Mm-hmm.
And where we are, especially, like, it's the land of forgotten roads.
Yeah,
nobody wants to fucking fix
it's
anything.
It's no man's land.
Yeah. Like,
the...
Now, you're out there, it's like playing whack-a-mole.
There's a pothole next to the Sonic here that has been there for well over a year and has only grown. It will soon become a sinkhole that they have now put cones around because nobody will fix it.
The worst pothole that we have close to our house is that one right down by Food City. Where you're coming out of Food City,
I
getting on the
place. That thing all the time.
Yeah.
Look, T-Dog is playing whack-a-mole with these potholes, right? They go fix two more potholes somewhere else.
They
will
spend a year fixing, I say with quotes, a road and do nothing extra to it. But meanwhile, the potholes just grow bigger. Or sinkholes happen because nothing ever got fixed.
Look, so when we came back, we took back roads. All back roads.
No
right?
wonder you're tired.
It was fucking wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did it.
Back
roads are fine for a certain point of time, then they just get boring.
Actually, there was a lot of, like, it was small sections, and then you had turns and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't too bad. It was just long. And we had, our wonderfully beautiful, almost 18-year-old autistic daughter has the bladder of a fucking mouse, and so, you know, we'd stop a lot.
Yeah. When you find the next place, can you pull over? We literally just stopped like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I thought that was for Grandpa over here.
No, she has...
No, I have a bladder like a steel trap on
her. Why are you using the bathroom at work every 5 minutes then?
Because it's boring at work and I want to be away from you guys.
I don't blame you.
And I try to tell the kids, like, I dehydrate myself on trips. We get coffee in the morning. It lasts me till we get to Oklahoma. I try not to drink almost anything on the trip. And I might feel sick by the time I get there, but I didn't pee 50 times.
Yeah.
Did he tell you about the prank I pulled at work earlier? Probably the best one yet.
No, and I didn't show her the pictures.
I had the video still. Don't
fucking
worry.
Okay.
Rude.
I forgot. I'm sorry. So, okay. So, when we get our truck in, we get product.
Like medicine totes.
Those big black totes. You know what I'm talking about with the folding. I brought them home before. It's the one that I used that I brought the paint home in.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what he did... And she took all the ones that we had.
The ones that we had and the ones that we got from the truck.
And stacked them from the floor to the ceiling.
And it's like, what, maybe 15, 16 foot to the ceiling?
Yeah. Yeah, all the way to the ceiling.
I had it touching the ceiling.
The funniest part?
Left it for the manager to come in first thing in the morning when he opened.
He cussed.
I got a picture of him smiling up there in the lighter.
He cussed more when he had to go up there to get one. Those were the only ones we had in the store.
I took every single one of them and stacked them to chill them.
And he had to,
way too much time on your
hands. And he had to climb the tall ladder, get on the tallest step, and reach.
Fuck every bit of that. No, thank you.
I'm going to have to.
I found it comical.
Everybody found it comical.
So what was your favorite part of your Oklahoma trip? Moment?
The
part?
Views. just the serene, no cars, no idiots, no, like, asshole people standing on the bridge. That picture that I showed you of the lake and stuff, standing on that picture did no justice, even though my camera is fucking phenomenal. That did not do any justice. I'm standing there, and I'm looking at this river coming through these two. I mean, they would be called hills, but in Oklahoma, they're called mountains. If you can see the top, it's a hill.
Okay.
You can see the top of a mountain, dude.
Not when you're standing right next to it.
No. But all I'm going to say is, it don't matter what camera you have, if you have an aerial view, satellite view, whatever, natural nature, not man-built lakes and all that bullshit. Natural pictures will never do it justice.
No, and see, the lake that we are at is actually man-made. It's like...
Oh, I retract my statement then.
So it's the country's largest man-made lake, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And the thing is that it's a moving lake.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm standing on the bridge, and I'm watching the water come through. I'm listening to the water. I'm looking at these just tree-covered hills, listening to the birds. And every once in a while, you got somebody talking.
Right.
But, you know, the people I were with, they were standing there fishing. So they're not going to talk.
Right.
So I'm standing there, and I'm watching them fish. And I, you know, and I'm just enamored in that. And then I turn around, and that's why I took that picture for you guys. And I'm just looking out there. And I'm just standing there for, like, for me, it felt like 20 minutes. It's probably only, like, two.
Yeah.
But I'm just engrossed in all of this just pure natural essence. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the feels. Just you feel that breeze blow. You smell the trees. You can hear the river flowing. You got, you know, the snakes that are flowing through. Not the river, but the lake.
Yeah.
But you see the snakes going, you see the fish going, you see the birds flying. And I mean, it is just nothing but pure natural beauty. And it is so relaxing.
You know, Joey, Dan and I have been married for 12 years now. Very soon. And
on what day?
The 16th.
Of?
July.
Thank you.
He has not been back to Oklahoma with me since our second wedding, which is about 10 years ago. I go back as often as I can because...
It was about 11 years ago because we got married, and then when I came back, we did the ceremony.
Yeah, so he hasn't been in the presence of my sister and my brother-in-law and my niece and my nephew in that amount of time.
That's terrible.
And
it is.
I make that drive pretty often. I know our oldest is... That trip is harder for him right now, but I physically feel the stress leave my body when we hit Oklahoma because it is just, it's home. I know where I'm going. I know the roads. I got to take him to my whole life. There is a family-owned Italian store, deli, that has been there my whole life, probably my mom's whole life. It's just been passed on generation to generation. They do their own meats. They do their own cheeses. The kids will only eat... Their favorite pickled okra is from there.
Now, when she says deli, we don't mean like this big, long counter with all these meats and everything. Right. No, this is...
It's a butcher shop.
It's really not even a butcher shop. It's an Italian restaurant. Not restaurant. It's an Italian store.
Yeah.
You walk in, they do their own cheese, their own sauce, their own noodles, and they sell it. And, you know, they are a butcher shop. So
They sell meats
and stuff like that. And and I know this
There's
is so weird,
too.
But you get that because it's in the small town.
Anybody that's interested, I found out that they have a website so I can actually order the pickled okra. Look up loveras.com, L-O-V-E-R-A-S. Wonderful.
Yeah.
You're sitting there talking about stress leaving your body. That's any hometown, really. I mean, I make a quick trip 80 miles out to Monterey, a little small-ass town on a mountain. I just feel relaxed. Not a worry in the world.
So
I don't know what that's like.
We bought two jars of pickled okra, one for each older kid, because those two will inhale them. And then Dan bought the only jerky they had.
Oh, you got to try this jerky, by the way.
It's downstairs. It's on the cake stand because this is my first the whole time.
Yeah.
And when we went to check out, the lady was like, so who's the brave soul that's going to try this jerky? And I was like, well, it's not me. She goes, well, I would suggest that you wait till you get home before you try it. And she was not joking. That jerky had some heat to it. It tasted good. The flavor was really good.
Oh, really good flavor.
But it is hot as fuck.
Like pepper heat.
Like the sauce you bought?
It's hotter.
It's hotter than that, surprisingly.
It's hot. I tried it. Our 11-year-old tried it. Like, it's hot.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not just like, oh, well, you take a bite. Like, you take a big bite, and you got a little bit of heat. No, you break a small piece off of that.
My mouth was on
that
fire for like an hour.
That heat is infused with every bit of fucking hotness that is in that thing.
God damn.
You know what else is, like, really hot that I found out a while back? And, some people say quarters, but no. Raw garlic.
Oh, no, raw garlic is incredibly hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really
like, you know, you think garlic sauce, oh, anyway, you eat raw garlic, it's hot.
Yeah, but it's really good for you.
Oh,
it's really hot.
It's really good for you.
Yeah. And it gives you bad breath.
It's hot.
It gives you bad breath.
I worked with a girl at the casino when I was like 20, 21, and she was very, hippie-ish. And so she didn't drink. We were baristas. Drink anything from the espresso cart. She was very holistic, and she ate garlic pills every single day. And when I tell you the odor that would come off of her body every day when we'd get hot and we'd be working really hard, the level of garlic that this poor girl, I was just like, God damn. And we work right next to a pizza oven. It's not overpowering you, ma'am.
That's why I'm going to do for my next plant. I'm just going to eat a bunch of raw garlic.
Oh. And just come in on drug day.
Sweating.
You know, but Oklahoma it was fun. It was not as fun as it was fun in the light that, you know, we got to celebrate our daughter and my niece who have been together since they were in Head Start together. And they're both graduating at the same time. They're both turning 18 this month. So we got to celebrate them. I got to see my niece that I have never met because, my cousin was finally there. I got to see my nephew, which was really important. So I got to see family, and I love that. And I wish all of my kids could see the reason that we should appreciate those moments. But it was kind of boring. Like, my mom's apartment is
uncharacteristically
small.
Of our studio right now.
Yeah, it's so small. And there's nothing to do out there. Like, you can't go anywhere. And so there were certain days that, you know, we've got kids that are trapped on a couch because our mattress took up the whole living room. My mom's over here in her chair trapped. You got kids sitting on, like, I spit a lot in Oklahoma. Kids sitting on, like, ice chests or in a broke-ass rocking chair. Like, it was so, those moments were really hard for them. There was no Wi-Fi. There's
no signal.
No
Wi-Fi.
They can't do anything.
Well,
they can't watch anything. That's boring.
It's
hot as fuck.
It's good. It's good, though, at the same time. You got to have a week to unplug.
You would think.
And, like, I mean.
But the thing is you can't really unplug because you can't go outside because the heat and the humidity.
There's nothing to do.
Fucking destroy you.
Sitting in this tiny apartment, phobic and bored. Now, my sister's house, however, she has a small farm.
When she says small farm.
I mean small farm.
85 birds, one cow, one pig, two goats, like 8 dogs, and 12 cats.
Yeah, like 6 or 7 cats, but they've just shown up. But our 11-year-old, that is her happy place. She was hardly ever inside. She unplugged there.
Yeah.
That's all of them, really.
Yeah.
They just kind of did their own thing, and they, you know, they got to. Sophia loves the animals. She chases the cats around all day. She chases the chickens. She, you know, plays with the dogs. Like, that is her happy place. She is so relaxed and happy there. If I could take her there all summer, I would. She loves it.
Yeah.
And she loves my sister.
Yeah, thank 10 years time, they'll all look back on that smile.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was bad or great.
I hope so.
They're going to look back on it.
I hope so. I know Sophia will. Katie loves going to Oklahoma. That is also her decompress. Like, we don't see a lot of her because she tends to close in. But when we're in Oklahoma, especially at my sister's, like she's all over the place. She's having a great time, you know? So it is definitely different.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard on Dan because...
It's a little outside my element.
Yeah, yeah.
The country too big for you.
No, it doesn't bother me. I just, I'm not... I'm a city boy born and raised.
Yeah.
I was not.
Yeah. But, you know, being out on the farm, like, it didn't bother me, you know? I mean, I'm walking, you know, you've got animals all running around coming up to you and saying hi. You know, I petted the cow a couple times and, you know, got up with the cow and I was just...
His name is Blackjack. He's a dwarf bull. He's amazing. I love him. He's not even as tall as I am.
He's such a pain in the ass. I hope. Like, he was staying.
He's trying to get in my car when
yeah.
Old countryside. That's great.
It was fun, though.
It was nice and relaxing. It was
a week was enough
peaceful.
This time.
Yeah.
You know, better planning. 2 weeks would be nice.
Yeah.
With better planning.
Yeah.
So, and we got to see my uncle and his wolves. That's always amazing.
Yeah, you tell me about that.
Yeah, I showed you those pictures that. Yeah, the producer took.
Yeah.
Yes. There were good moments. There were really good moments.
Yeah.
So I hope they hold those and just remember those.
Yeah.
Good stuff. It was. And for me, once a year, I don't care if it's Oklahoma or any. Well, once a year I have to get out of, I spend a lot of time here at home. Once a year I have to get out of here for at least a week. I need to go somewhere and decompress and not be mom all the time.
You go to the gun range with those next time.
I gotta get my ID first.
No, we found the gun range that doesn't require ID.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we can't go here. They require ID. He's like, well, what the hell are we supposed to go? So I'm like 60 miles away from fucking Oxford.
It's an outdoor range. You don't need an ID, and you know, it's only pistols, but that's okay.
Yeah, they said they're going to open up a rifle range here soon.
Yeah,
because they said they're going to sell it to someone, and hopefully they'll open it up.
Yeah. No, I did get to go. We did get to go to a Bigfoot museum on Father's Day.
We'd had a rough day the day before. And everybody was stressed out. It was starting to kind of, you know, that whole like. Being too close together for too much was getting to everybody, and I got on my phone and I was like, there has got to be something to do, something that doesn't cost $5 million to go do with these kids. And there was one place that Austin wanted to go check out, but unfortunately they were closed the day that we went. So I'm looking, I'm like, there's a Bigfoot museum here? Like, there's literally nothing in Tallahassee, Oklahoma, okay? There's a Dollar General. There's a Dollar General or two.
In a subway.
In a subway. And
well, it's all you need. It's
some cute restaurants. Like,
yeah.
There's that. There's little. There's not a whole lot. And I'm like, there's a fucking Bigfoot museum here? We got to go. So that's what we did. We went to that. And
I got hot sauce.
It was very kooky.
You did.
But when we got there, it was like literally it's a house that has been turned into a museum. And they were supposed to be open at like 11. We got there at 11:15. Nobody was there. And Austin's like, well, what's that sign? And it says, for hours, call this number. So I call. And the lady literally answers the phone and is like, hey. And so I looked at my phone because I'm like, did I dial a friend?
Let's call a friend, please.
I was like, hello? Is this the Bigfoot Museum people? And she's like, oh, yeah? I was like, are you guys open today? She goes, sometimes on Sundays we just kind of come in when we want. And I was like, oh. Well,
that's the job we need.
Right.
I don't feel like coming in today. We ain't
open. I was like, well, we're here. She's like, oh, well, I'm going to come in like half an hour. I'll get that way. And then when they got there, it was really cute.
She had
a lot of really cool information, a lot of pictures. It was definitely
a lot of research.
Something that we needed. Like, it was fun. It was fun to laugh about the situation and then get in there and look at everything. And yeah.
It was a cool little museum. I mean, it's something
right.
You would expect from a Bigfoot museum.
Yeah.
You know, simply because
she loves to talk.
She did. She loved to talk, but that's not where I got the salsa. I got hot sauce from them too. So I got hot sauce, salsa, barbecue sauce.
He got hot sauce from the Bigfoot Museum.
Uh huh.
And then he got salsa, queso, and barbecue sauce, Top Top Plaza, which they make in house basically. They do a lot of their own products.
Wish we could have got some of that bacon.
Oh my god.
Bacon's good no matter how you cook it.
Oh, no,
that
no, no, no.
Where you get it. I typically will not eat anybody's bacon but my own.
So I'm very leery about other people's bacon, right?
They man. You give me slab bacon, I'm eating it.
So we went and got...
Never had my bacon.
No. We went and got burgers one night, right? She's like, I don't want a burger, I want a BLT. Cool.
No, I got a club sandwich.
That's right.
My stomach was upset.
You
and
got
I
the club sandwich.
A burger.
Yeah. I was thinking about getting the bacon cheeseburger, but I was like, I'm just going to get a regular cheeseburger.
Right.
She got the club sandwich that came with bacon on it. I tell you, this bacon, no offense, was
the
best bacon I've ever tasted in my entire life.
It literally melted in your mouth, and the amount of flavor on the stuff, like, we're in the kitchen, and when I picked it up to look at it, a piece fell out. And so I tasted it, and I was like, holy shit. So Austin's sitting right next to me, he's like, what? So I gave him a little piece, and he was like, oh, my God.
I don't understand how like, people do some of that stuff, because, like, you know, you go to, like, a steak restaurant, order ribs, and, you know, sometimes it's like you pick up a whole slat when you try to get the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, the little Western-owned steakhouses, you try to pick it up, and that bone just slides right off.
Yeah.
Like, what the?
And you're like, that's how this is supposed
is
to be.
It is the best.
Yeah.
Rib, you
know. Yeah. Well, this bacon, I tell you what, this is their claim to fame.
It has
they
a little kick to it, but it's so good.
Yeah. They should.
Everything's good with a little heat.
I swear what they do is they take, like, the back fat or whatever they use for bacon,
right,
fucking coat it in their barbecue sauce, smoke it, and then cut it in the bacon.
And they use, like, cracked pepper on it, too. That was really – like, I don't know what they did, but by the hand of God, it was the best bacon I've ever had.
You should have asked them about how you cook this.
Because, we were back at the apartment, and then we were leaving the next day, and so we didn't get a chance to – because otherwise, like – I was, when we got up the next day, he was like, I'm kind of hungry. And I was like, I wish that, I would have just, it's like, can I just have like four sides of bacon, please?
Hang on, what's the name? I'll call him. Yeah, I'm from Tennessee, but I heard your bacon's good.
Oh, and so.
Every bit of their food is good, though. Like
one morning, Miss Angel and I went there just to go get some coffee. And I think we were doing something else. I don't know. But I was a little hungry. I really didn't want, like, you know, breakfast sandwich or burrito.
Right.
It was about 10 o'clock. So I got their chicken strips. Dude, their fucking chicken strips were the best. So you know how, like, you'll get chicken strips and you'll have that coating. Sometimes there's too much breading. And
right.
All it is just crunch.
Especially
right.
From a gas station.
Yeah. Or it'll be just a little light coating. The chicken, it's dry. No. This was the perfect amount of coating, the perfect amount of flavor, because sometimes you don't get flavor. It had some flavor in it. Perfect amount of coating, perfectly cooked.
It's so juicy.
Like the second time that we went to go get coffee, I got them again and brought them home, or brought them back to the thing, gave one to my youngest daughter, and it was gone.
Oh, yeah. Now, mind you, that little plaza, by far, as far as restaurant food went, was the best food we had there. But when you ask Sophia, the best food that she has every single time we go back to Oklahoma is my brother-in-law catfish. She eats that shit like popcorn. Like, she does not, and she doesn't like fish. She does not eat fish. We have tried salmon. I have tried tilapia. She'll eat tuna salad, but... I mean, that's the supposed to fish she's getting. She does not like fish. But when we go home and he makes catfish, she stole my fucking food.
Okay, so I'm standing there in there talking with her brother-in-law. She's bullshitting, right? And
he makes that shit even better when he's drunk and drunk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna point that out.
Yeah.
Probably put beer on it.
He gave me a little piece to try, and I was like, this is delicious. I snuck a piece while he wasn't looking. But I broke a piece off. Take it to Miss Angel because, you know, I'm a nice husband. I'm going to take it and give her a piece. So she's in the living room. My daughter is sitting on a bar stool at the counter in the kitchen. I've got this piece in my hand and I'm walking it. My daughter doesn't lock eyes with me, locks eyes with that piece of fish, zeroes in, no shit, like a fucking tomahawk missile. I walk by And she's like, is that fish? I was like, yeah, it's for your mom. Nope, yoink. Literally ripped it out of my hand.
And ate it.
And ate it. There was still a little piece left that she like wrestled me for. She grabbed my hand. Like I had it like in my three fingers.
Like tartar sauce, like we don't put anything on it. We just eat it.
You just fucking eat it. And this fish.
And it was very fresh. Like they had just skinned it.
Yeah.
And cleaned it and then cooked it.
Some of the best fish ever made.
Oh, it was catfish and bass is what they had.
Sea bass is freaking amazing.
Oh my God.
It was all good. It was so good. It is every time. Like, I don't know why I'm surprised every time we have it, but it's so good every time.
Yeah. It was so
good. I mean, that's my favorite kind of food, seafood.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't care what it is. I eat it.
Did you tell Zach about the extra special food that I'm going to have to find somewhere to order for you, to make for you? Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh.
He don't even know.
So, okay. We went grocery shopping with her mom. I think I told you the story at work, but
it's a little grocery store. It's big.
Yeah, it's a big grocery store, but it's
the only grocery store within 45 minutes.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a chain grocery
store.
So it's a mom and pop grocery store, right? So we're walking through, and I'm just looking at the different things that they had. No shit, they had Larry the Cable Guy box dinners. Larry the Cable Guy, Hamburger Helper.
What? That's when you know you're in the middle of nowhere.
Right. So next
turn off, you know, you're driving down that little dirt road, you see, that's that wrong turn movie spot right
Maybe
there.
Maybe even worse by the fact that...
Whoa. I was getting there. Hold on.
This man is very chronologically ordered over there.
Yeah. So that was before we went to her sister's house, right? So we're at her sister's house, and we're bullshitting and talking, and I'm talking with her son, Miss Angel's nephew, right?
Right.
And I'm just like, you know, laughing it off. I'm like, you know, I couldn't believe my eyes. I saw Larry the Cable Guy, you know, Hamburger Helper. And he looked at me, and he was like, hold on a second. And started tearing apart the cabinets in the kitchen. He's like, I know we've got some somewhere. We eat that shit all the time.
Made even worse by the fact that if you shut your eyes when my brother-in-law talks, no shit, it's Larry the Cable Guy. He sounds exactly like him. I used to tease him all the time when we were younger because I'm like, just talk some more.
Talk about something. Larry the Cable Guy.
He sounds just like him. There's no differentiation there.
Hold on. I'm gonna show Zach this. That way he knows I'm not bullshitting.
What, Hamburger Helper? Or the fact that y'all were almost in wrong turn 8 or 9 or whatever.
We were almost in.
There's like 9 of them now. I was like, well, I'll be damned.
That's what we saw. Like, no shit. He has cheeseburger. He's got, I know he's got like a stroganoff. He's got a chicken batter.
Mac and cheese. He's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to have to lasagna dinner.
I'm actually going to have my sister get some because ordering them online is like twice as much.
Yeah.
Can't you just box it up and ship it?
Yeah.
But that's this whole line of stuff.
Dang.
Seasonings, like coatings, yeah. Yeah.
Why are the cable?
And I'm not hating on the guy. I think it's fucking amazing because that is...
haven't seen Larry the Cable Guy in a long time.
Yeah.
The fact that his face is right there.
But that is exactly what Larry the Cable Guy would do.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
100%.
He's like, I'm going to make some... And the thing is, so regular Hamburger Helper is like $5 a box.
$6.
No, it's not.
Regular Hamburger Helper? Not the store brand shit.
The one with the little thing out here.
Yeah, it's like $5 a box now.
Really?
Yeah.
That was like $1.
I know.
Like, look at the price inflation. I heard for an hour straight this day. We ain't going to be able to sell these batteries for $2 more. We ain't going to sell this inflation.
What did I do? I sold one of those batteries.
That's all he's talking about this morning. We ain't going to sell these damn batteries. I'm like, man, if they want them, they want them.
But the Larry the Cable Guy box dinners, they're $1 a piece.
Telling my mom. Send me a box.
I want one of each.
Don't send me your cell phone bill payment. Just go buy Larry the Cable Guy. Cable
Line
dinners and send them.
Just 1 month, do that, and I will pay your cell phone payment. Because it's literally, that's all her stuff will say, but it's like $6 a month.
Yeah. The cable guy.
Yeah, and we're going to have it. I'm going to try it one night.
You going to drink your Budweiser while you're at
it? Absolutely.
Awesome. There were definitely some really cool moments on the trip.
Yeah. So one big thing that happened to Miss Angel and I this week, and Alex and I talked about it Wednesday, was our campaign ended.
Right.
Our D&D campaign ended.
Yeah, I did not die. I killed a lot of shit.
Yeah. Nobody died.
Well, that's not true.
Okay, so none of the main players that have been there for...
Somebody had to die, otherwise it's just boring.
So one of our players was there in the beginning and then split off and went to another campaign and then came back towards the end of this campaign. So he's always been here, just he was in a different campaign for a while, for like the last year. And he ended up dying. So that was really sad.
Yeah.
I died once in the campaign. I had to create a new character. That character is fucking amazing.
My character was there from the inception of the campaign, the entire 5 years.
Yeah, he never did have to create a new character.
Not in that campaign, no.
Not in that one.
No, the other one, I had to create two different ones. Oh, I died twice, and the second time that I died, he was just like, nope, you're not coming back.
You two jokers got me hooked on it now. I don't want to try it. It's not Skyrim, man. You're already halfway there.
He needs some good players, so.
Yeah.
Some fresh blood.
I'm going to kill everybody. I'm gonna like, you see that little bag of horse and just throw some C4 in there. Here you go. Have all my loot.
Oh, God. It's going to be like Ethan and I was at work. We're going to be talking about D&D and shit.
Some customer comes in. Get out. I'm practicing my dice rolling skills.
Let's see. Do you get a discount?
Were you?
10 and below, no. Nope.
I don't think you were there. It was one day we were open from 8 to 6. It was me, Ethan, and Walt. And every one of us had our fishing poles inside the store, had a little bucket set up around the store, and we're sitting in there saying, get it in the bucket. We had like two people the whole day. Everybody one day come in and was like, oh, hang on, I'll go grab my two.
I'm going to buy a set of D20s. I'm going to hand them out to people at work and just be like, okay, if you can get if you can get 11 or above, you can do this. If you get 10 and below, no.
You want to talk to him about it? You got to roll like...
Let's see who buys lunch today.
Just hand it to customers and be like, okay, the number you roll is the discount that you get. If you roll a 1, you get a 1% discount.
Start loading the die. Sorry, I'm handing you a look.
The thing is I can actually print my own dice. So there's that, you know.
They all have a 1 on them.
They're all 1.
What the fuck is this shit?
Support our D&D campaign. Whatever you roll is the percentage you get off. Can I roll twice? Nope.
I want them Vegas style. I want to be able to see and make sure I'm not rolling. Bullshit.
All right. So we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about this week's movie. It is a new release to Disney Plus and actually just came out to the theaters a couple months ago.
2-3 months ago?
Yeah. Yeah, because Zach and I went to go see it in the theaters.
I think it was March.
Yeah.
March,
yeah.
Or April 1.
And just at Disney Plus, I believe either last week or the week before, we are going to be talking Doctor Strange and in the Multiverse of Madness.
Make sure you get the end part.
Somebody couldn't get it. Yeah, we'll be talking Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So we'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Sounds like
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
I'm trying to decide
a ride. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Apparently, you know, people don't know when we go back on the air, but it's okay. Kept talking.
You didn't signal anybody?
I'm sorry. I know. That was my fault. I sincerely apologize, but it's okay. Just a little bit of off-air talk. So, yeah.
To that one lonely dude hanging out in his mom's basement, we are very sorry.
Why are you going to throw him in the bus?
Oh, look, we've got a call.
Somebody call, please.
We don't have enough headphones up here.
I don't know what to tell you.
Somebody.
We're playing telephone, man. You said you were what?
He said you're a bitch. All right, so tonight... we are talking Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Directed by Sam Raimi, who also has done many, many, many movies. He did the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire.
The infamous Evil Dead.
Just want to point out
the infamous Evil Dead.
Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, he had signed off ever doing another superhero movie until this movie.
Yeah. Really?
Because he was so embarrassed.
Well, I'd be embarrassed with the third one, too. Like I said, the third one was just garbage.
So, he did all the Evil Deads. He did Army of Darkness. He did Drag Me to Hell. Oz the Great and Powerful.
This is the first movie since Oz the Great and Powerful that he's done.
Yeah.
Did you know
that he directed?
Right.
Now, writing is a different story.
Did you know though that this is the first MCU, this MCU movie that has been labeled as a horror movie?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not.
It is literally the top grossing horror movie of all time.
That's fucking awesome. I love it. It is not the only Marvel horror movie though.
The New Mutants.
However, the New Mutants, which I wish they would have incorporated into the MCU.
Yeah.
So
it's a fucking amazing movie. I loved it.
Very creepy.
So I will say that I was really excited for this movie because I had heard that it's going to be, well, I heard that it was directed by Sam Raimi, and I'm like, yes, I want that. And I heard that it was going to be a little on the darker side. And we all know I'm a horror movie fanatic. Like, I love horror movies. Like, I will rewatch, you know, horror movies over and over again. When I heard that it was going to be a little darker, a little creepier, labeled as a quote-unquote MCU horror movie directed by Sam Raimi, I was ecstatic.
On top of the fact that the music with Danny Elfman was also amazing.
Oh, I mean, come on. Danny Elfman, though? Like, you can't beat... So, you have two composers in the world of movies and TVs. You've got John Williams, who we all know as the composer for Star Wars, who does other things. But he is fucking amazing. Yes. And you have Danny Elfman, who did the intro for The Simpsons.
Oh,
I don't know if you know that. Among other things.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes. And Danny Elfman is... Okay, so when you think of composers, you think of these straight-laced, you know, tuxedo
like
type. Yeah. Yeah, like John Williams. Like, he's in this, you know, suit, tuxedo, and he's up there doing the thing, right? Yeah. and, you know, really clean cut and stuff like that. Danny Elfman is the total opposite. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
But have you, Miss Angel? Like, he has full sleeves, like tattoo sleeves. Like, this dude is like nothing you would ever expect.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he did, doing the music and the composing for this movie was phenomenal.
I would say one of the only reasons, well, there's multiple reasons why I want to see it. One of the reasons I want to see it was the start to the multiverse.
Yeah.
Like your TV shows, at the end of the TV show, yeah, it would show what's going on, what's about to happen. But this is the first movie to actually benchmark into the multiverse.
That's not true.
Spider-Man.
No Way Home was the first
one.
But they didn't travel through the multiverse.
They didn't travel through the multiverse. No, they had people coming from the multiverse.
Right, and to be fair, Spider-Man was not supposed to be the first. It was supposed to be flipped around, but because of COVID, they had to rewrite everything.
Yeah, and if we're looking at, like, all, like, Marvel-type movies, Spider-Man No Way Home was not.
Venom?
No. Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
The animated was the first foray into, for this generation.
Right.
I mean, we can go, like, you know, farther back where, you know, like, other cartoons and stuff have touched on the multiverse and stuff like that.
And they've always talked about it in the actual movies, but it's never actually happened.
Right.
Did you know that this is also the first and only Marvel movie that is specifically credited as a Kevin Feige production?
Really?
Yes.
And it's pronounced Feige.
Whatever. That's not how I say it.
He's about to call here.
That's your new name.
He's about to call down here, and you better hear it.
That's why I'm not pronouncing America Chavez's real name, because there's...
I'm not even touching that one.
The last thing is Gomez. That's how we're going to refer to her.
Selena's younger sister.
Probably.
It's the only Gomez I know.
I don't even know where I was going. Oh, yeah. Kevin Feige. He's the mastermind behind
everything.
The Clone Wars. No, he's Star Wars through and through.
Which one said everything?
Yeah. I
know you.
No, Kevin Feige. No, I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm sorry. No, Kevin Feige is all MCU.
Yeah, because...
Yeah. Kevin Feige, he's done a little bit of Star Wars here and there. I was thinking of...
I don't know who you're thinking about.
Shit. I'll think of his name.
Spielberg?
Yeah. No.
Go to...
No, not John Favreau. The guy that... Dave Filoni.
John Favreau did a lot, though.
J.J. Abrams?
No.
I'm just... Named
Dave Filoni. I was thinking Dave Filoni.
Right.
Who did the Clone Wars.
And John Favreau's had a hand in a lot of stuff, too.
John Favreau's had his hand in both. Yeah. MCU and Star Wars.
Yep.
So...
Did you know that this is the fifth MCU film that was denied a release in China?
Don't surprise me.
Bunch of Chinese bastards.
Listen, I'm trying to take talk out.
China.
Before we even start.
I forgot. You can find us on TikTok too. Wicked Angel.
Don't go now.
I mean, we're not on TikTok right now. We're not live now, but we're trying to get our radio show streamed live on TikTok. So, so let's talk about this movie for a minute. So the past couple of Marvel movies, this and No Way Home, have been.
Are we going strictly Marvel? Or Marvel properties?
No, just these two so far. Multiverse of Madness and No Way Home were 100% fanfare.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I mean, you look at No Way Home and you've got all three Spider-Men in the same movie.
It was amazing.
It was fucking amazing.
I didn't like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, but as an old Spider-Man, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but that was total fanfare.
My
favorite. Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Favorite part of that movie. Was how they brought that meme to life.
Yeah.
Where they're all standing in a circle pointing at each
other. Yeah.
That was
awesome. And then we've got this movie, which I absolutely loved the fanfare in this movie. And the one thing that sticks out the most when it comes to fanfare was Patrick Stewart reprising his role as Professor Xavier in the yellow chair from the X-Men cartoon and the X-Men comics. And I will say the reason why I say that is all for the fans, strictly for the fans, is because, and you had mentioned it, but I noticed it again when I watched it last night, as he's entering the Illuminati room, the intro for the X-Men cartoon is played.
Yep.
And I kind of noticed it, but I didn't really notice it when we were in the theater.
It's kind of hard to pick up on it because, you know, everybody's like, oh!
Yeah. But when I was watching it here, and it's very soft and mellow. It's kind of in the background. But, you know, and it's slowed down just a little bit. But you can hear it. And, like, that made me fall in love with that scene so much more.
We could talk about that scene right there for hours because it was probably, if not the best scene, one of the best Marvel scenes in the movie.
Well, fun fact.
Okay.
In Charles Xavier's first scene, he is accompanied by a brief orchestral score of the X-Men.
Yep.
The animated series, 1992 theme track. He can also be seen moving around in the classic bright yellow hover chair popularly associated with the series.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Professor X, as opposed to his fellow Illuminati members, is the only one who's willing to at least give 616 Strange a chance to prove that he isn't the greatest threat to the multiverse, as every other Strange does. He justifies this with the very same quote one of his variants used to motivate his younger self to try and save their future.
That's from Save the Future Past.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, the whole Illuminati was just, like, breathtaking. And I would say that's one thing I like most about Marvel movies is they keep seriously one-upping each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's cool. We can do it better. And then next thing you know, it's just like...
You have three Spider-Men?
Yeah.
That's fucking badass. Here's Professor Xavier from the cartoon.
Yeah.
So, this movie is, so, I'm a big MCU fan. We all know this. I would say that this movie is in my top five best MCU movies.
I'd have to make a top five. I've never thought about it like that.
For me, it's in the top five.
It's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it out there.
What?
So, because I love all of them. I have so far been incredibly impressed with all 28 movies in the MCU.
Dark World,
yeah.
Iron Man 2.
I loved them all.
I love the story that they create. I love the story that they create. I have some that are on my lesser watched list, although I do like Iron Man 2 over Thor 2, not going to lie.
I like them.
I like Iron Man 2 over Ragnarok 2.
See, I just can't agree with that one.
I loved them all.
When
Iron Man first came out, I was 110% not a superhero fan because I grew up on like the old Superman movies and Batman movies, and I was over them. Like, I was over the superhero movies. And like Star Wars, definitely not a fan. Still not my favorite, but I watch it now. I have appreciation for it. But then we watched Thor. And I was hooked. Number one.
Chris Hemsworth,
of course.
I love Robert Downey Jr. And I loved seeing him on film again. And the fact that he was Iron Man and he played the role so well. Like, I was hooked immediately. And then we just kept going. And so far, obviously, I'm a Marvel girl. I cannot stand most DC movies. There's, like, one that I'm cool with.
Shazam.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Although, you did like The Batman.
The Batman was impressive.
Robert Pattinson.
Let's take a minute and ask,
surprisingly impressive.
What is going on with DC right now? They are just crumbling. It is.
Has it ever stopped?
Like, it's at an all-time high. Well, I say all-time high.
The
it's at rock bottom right now.
Shazam and the Batman were the best that they have done. If they stuck with the formula of the
Batman. The only reason I say that is because Ezra Miller, who the hell knows if he's still in jail or not.
Oh.
All right. Then you got Amber Heard. They have they're going to redo Aquaman 2.
They should have redone it anyway. She was horrible.
I know. I'm not
defending. She's a horrible actress.
I'm just saying.
She's horrible.
I'm just saying the whole DC universe
the
is
bad
falling
Jason
apart.
Although
Jason Momoa, though, because, like, he was a hero throughout.
I know what you're about to say.
I hope
it recovers.
I'm waiting for Black Adam.
I hope it recovers.
Right now, the main person I feel bad for is Jason Momoa because that's his film.
Yeah.
And
it's
going to tank, and it's not his fault.
So I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you.
Yes, she is.
They cut her out completely.
She has 10 minutes in that movie.
No, they cut her out completely. I promise you. It was 10 minutes, and then they canceled it.
I don't think
Let's wait for the movie to come out and see who's right. But I have to disagree with you. I don't think it's going to tank, and I'll tell you why. There are more people that like Jason Momoa than hate Amber Heard.
But he needs to get out there and start.
And there's also neutral people.
Putting himself out there.
There's also neutral people out there.
My thing is I'll go watch it because of the storyline and because of...
I'll watch it because it's Aquaman movie.
Yeah, and I like Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
He's awesome.
I mean, Amber Heard's got 10 minutes in it. Big fucking deal. Yeah. It's not Wonder Woman 84. Okay?
Hey, I'm scout.
It's
so
not Wonder Woman. No, it's Gal Gadot. She sucks as Wonder Woman.
You know what really disappointed me in that? Because when Wonder Woman first became a thing and it was going to be a movie, okay, I had a little girl who literally for like the year beforehand, Wonder Woman was her hero. There was everything Wonder Woman that you could imagine in this house. She wore Wonder Woman clothes every day. She had a cape. She had all the shit. She had the fucking cuffs. Like, she was Wonder Woman. Then we sat with her because she was so excited to see the movie. And then she was so disappointed. This little girl was so disappointed in this movie, she never picked up another Wonder Woman thing again.
Sure.
So disappointing. So disappointing. That's part of my problem with DC. Like, you know, fucked it up for little people.
Okay. Back to Doctor Strange.
Yes. What is your favorite part?
Oh, God, don't do that to me.
That's like asking what's your favorite movie.
Okay, hold on. Can we wait till closer to the end of the show for that?
Maybe, because I have mine.
Okay, because I want to talk about bits and pieces of the show.
I
want to talk about the movie. I want to talk about the movie, and then I want to get to our favorite part.
So is America Chavez,
yeah.
Is that, like, is she a important thing?
Yes, she is now.
Very.
Is she supposed to be a certain superhero?
Yes.
Who?
America Chavez.
Oh, she just has her own name.
She's from the multiverse.
Stephen Strange.
I mean, Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange. He literally is
Thor.
Doctor Strange.
Okay. Well, I just was wondering. Thor. Like, is she like in a comic book,
the
though?
Hulk?
Is she?
Yes.
Okay.
So every character that the MCU uses is from the comic books in one form or another. They have taken liberties with some characters, like when we look at Ms. Marvel, the TV show, the Disney Plus TV show. They took liberties with her powers. So in the comic books, her powers is that, like, she stretches, like Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
In the TV show, spoiler alerts, her powers come from a bangle, and they're, like, light powers. Like, she creates solid objects out of light.
So America Chavez, her sole power, though, is being able to access the multiverse.
No. She's also very strong.
Okay.
Because we saw that in the movie. Like, she can use those because she broke out of her cell.
Right.
And she literally knocked Wanda...
On her ass. Yeah.
Which
is a very hard thing to do.
Which,
especially when she starts tilting that head a little bit.
I want to talk about...
You about to get real.
I want to talk about Wanda for a second.
It was really sad to see her go down that path.
But it's understandable.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we all watched WandaVision.
Yes.
I forced you to watch it.
See, you said at least watch two episodes. I got that third episode or something, and I'm like, oh, shit, I can't stop.
Right?
It's
I told you.
It's so slow at the beginning. Then, I mean, it picks up.
Yeah.
Goes.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
It's like a roller coaster. And you just keep going up, up, up.
Yeah. Okay, so at the end of WandaVision, she's got the Darkhold, and she's studying it in a little cabin, right? And we're like, okay, you know, she's dealing with her grief for the loss of Vision twice, the loss of her family, and her little perfect world. What was your reaction when you realized that she was the bad guy?
I was sad. Because I actually liked Wanda throughout the movies and then in WandaVision. You know, I get the anger and I get the grief. I get it. But the length that she was going to and that she was such a bad guy, like, that kind of sucked.
I mean, for me, I got, like, two things I'll say about it. First off, I was, like, surprisingly shocked. Like, because even if you watch trailers,
there's no hint.
There's no hint whatsoever.
No, it's... You
think they're
like,
fighting someone else way stronger, way bigger.
And they need her help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secondly, it wasn't one.
No, it was the Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Because the Darkhold corrupted her.
Yeah.
And it even said it in the movie with Charles Xavier. She's trapped underneath in her own mind.
Yeah. So what was... So when I realized it, I had the same reactions as you guys. I was like, it's almost like the floor drops out from underneath you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, fuck. Are you serious? They got to fight her? They're fucked. Because you saw in,
well, in
Endgame.
She was, well, even in WandaVision, she was the most powerful witch.
Yeah.
In Endgame, though, which I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
She picks Thanos up.
And just starts to crush him. Like, she's fucking powerful.
She's, like, torturing him slowly.
Yeah.
Because she rips all his armor off.
Yeah.
Or most of it.
What was the moment that you realized that she was going to be the bad guy?
I mean, as soon as the world crumbled when Steven was there.
Okay.
As the world crumbled, I was like...
At the end of WandaVision, right whenever she drops down to her knees and the whole, you know... Where she starts making her own. I don't know if it's the end. It might have been that last episode showing how she got there. Whenever she drops to her knees and lets, like, all the rage out.
Yeah. So for me, it was in the movie when they're walking together and, you know, Strange is like, we've got this girl, stuff like that. And he says, and she says,
bring Chavez here.
Yeah, bring America here. And that was,
it was really subtle how they did it.
It actually wasn't, because if you go back and watch it again, it really wasn't that subtle.
Well, if you watch it for the first time.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people were like, wait, oh, shit. No, like, they second guess themselves.
Yeah. But as soon as I heard that, and that was in the theater, as soon as I heard her say, bring America here, I was like, oh, she knows.
Yeah.
You know, and then Doctor Strange...
I never said her name, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then she's like, the lie was like the hardest thing to say or something.
Yeah.
Or no, the hex is the easiest part.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, you never said her name, did you? He was like, nope.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But this bitch in this movie.
She was a badass, but.
Oh, she was
going after a child.
More than a
so
badass.
For me as a mom, and she's coming at it. From a mom point of view,
yeah,
and I'm like, you're literally trying to destroy a child. She's
okay, so this is actually a good point, and I wanna.
Like, how far do you go? I'm not gonna go after somebody else's kid because my kid is hurt.
But it wasn't all about the kid.
It was all about her kids. Absolutely was. That was her main driving force.
It was.
It was a big part, but another part of it was behind that Vision. That was
no,
another.
She had accepted Vision's death.
Not the first time, yes. And then where she had to kill.
She was angry about Vision's death the second time. She knew she couldn't bring him back.
Yeah.
Her whole motivating force in this was getting her little world back with her children.
Yeah. She wanted her... She,
her little family.
Yeah. She wanted to go to a universe to, you know...
To be mom again.
Yeah.
Even though they had a mom.
Yeah.
It was a sad movie at the same time.
It was.
Because you feel all of her emotions.
Yeah. You feel the pain. So I wouldn't say that she was actually the bad guy in the movie.
She was killing people.
You're right. She was.
She was broken. She wasn't necessarily a villain. She was just broken.
Right. When you look at... Okay, so I'm going to put this out there. As a father, I'm literally going to do anything for my kids. You take my kids, I'm coming after you. I don't fucking care.
I mean, yeah, not going to lie. 18 is an adult. But, you know, all of my kids are going to reach that age at some point. If you're dating my child and you fuck them up, I will go to jail for beating ass on an 18-year-old. I'm going to fuck.
Yeah, like, I'm coming after you.
Right.
You mess with my kids, you mess with my family.
That's what I was saying. Like,
I'm coming after you.
And I get what you're saying, too. Like, yeah, a lot of people portray her as the main villain. She's just broken.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
She did some horrible things, sadness, loneliness,
all of it.
She did some absolutely horrible things.
Oh, yeah, there's no denying that.
But then she sacrificed herself to make sure...
It's up in there.
It is.
It is up in the
because
air.
Because you get that flash of red.
At the very end.
She was trying to do the right thing, though. She didn't take her power.
No, she didn't.
You know, she could have kept fighting.
Yeah.
She didn't. You know, did you know that Benedict Wong broke, like, 4 ribs doing his stunts?
Yeah. I believe it. I believe it. The stunts that man was doing in this movie? Like...
Okay. And he's one of my favorites.
He is. He's a very comic relief. Like, he's great.
I love him.
So he was fantastic in the original Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Because he was that side character that you really didn't expect anything from.
Right.
And every once in a while, he had those one-liners that came out.
He's like Spider-Man's best friend. Like,
yes.
Like
Ned.
Yeah. There he is.
And then you've got Infinity War. Where he's there and he's fighting.
Is this everybody?
Yeah.
You wanted more?
And then, you know, we saw him in the Ten Rings very briefly.
Wasn't a very important character.
Yes.
And, you know, so there was a part, and maybe I missed it. I mean, I paid pretty good attention to this movie. I wasn't even, other than, you know, setting up play dates for my child. Y'all on the movie. I could have sworn... In the previews, there was a point where Wong was telling him that he had fucked up Strange. Like, you've messed up. You have done something horrible by going to these multiverses.
I think I remember.
But then I don't remember seeing it in the movie.
That's another thing with Marvel, though. Like, they're so good at lying.
Yeah.
Well, I know they cut, like, 40 minutes out of the movie, but that was specifically
in the trailer.
I only saw one trailer.
One thing that I've noticed about the MCU, and you were just mentioning this, the MCU will put deleted scenes in their trailer
just to throw you off.
I was so super confused because I really thought Wong was going to be an opponent of his in this movie by the trailer I saw.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that didn't happen. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. See, some of the trailers led you to believe that it was Doctor Strange.
That was the bad guy.
Going through the... Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And that was...
And then they went to Wanda for help.
Yeah. That was a purposeful misdirection.
Well, I hated it. Where's that part?
I love it because it throws you off and you don't know what you're expecting going into the movie.
Well, and I didn't really pay attention
and
to
that. And that right there is why I had Scott watching Marvel trailers.
Yeah.
I'm just I'm going to go see it. I'm not watching trailers, though.
But yeah, like, I didn't pay attention to it last night, but then today as I was thinking about it more and more, because I knew there was a show coming, I was like, what happened to all the stars? did I stare at my phone? Did I text too long and miss some shit? Because I don't think I did.
No.
Marvel does good. And that, I mean, they're still getting better and better.
So I will say that this movie was the darkest.
Absolutely.
Creepiest. Goriest.
Definitely gory. Yeah, 100%.
It was. And for being on Disney Plus, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still Marvel. It's
still
Marvel. PG-13.
Yeah.
You had the Punisher on Disney Plus.
He literally goes around murdering people.
Yeah.
You got Simpsons on there. Obviously, it's pretty bloody Simpsons.
That's cartoons. That's
so
not.
I'm just saying.
I know you asked him earlier what his favorite part in the movie is. I got a question for you because we talked about it at work. Out of the MCU movies, what is your favorite second solo movie?
Your favorite sequel.
Sequel?
Your favorite
solo
sequel. Like Iron Man 2,
Thor 2, Captain America 2, Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
Not Captain America No.
I don't think she knows what Captain America 2 is.
Isn't that the soldier?
Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay. My favorite.
Okay.
Captain America is not my dude.
Forcer guy. Chris Hemsworth.
No, it's not, and you know better.
It's Jason. It's Vin Diesel.
No, it's not. In Marvel, who is my dude?
Marvel?
Yes.
Oh. Edward Norton? No, Robert Downey Jr.
No.
Then fucking who?
Oh.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Favorite superhero.
Season 1, episode 2 don't count.
No, I mean, one of my favorite though, since he came into he was
in Thor.
Yeah. Since the first time that I saw him, because I always pick the weird ones. Jesus Christ, I had a crush on Jon Favreau as a kid. Like, I pick the weird ones. It's definitely not Chris Hemsworth though. But anyway, I would honestly probably say Iron Man 2.
See, we agreed on this one.
We agreed on this one.
Winter Soldier.
No.
Yeah. Winter Soldier
was
okay.
So crucial and so big.
So out of all of the second part solo movies, okay, you've got Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
okay, is the top of the list by far. Because.
For you.
Listen. Listen, Linda.
Listen, Linda.
Number one. It is the turning point of that particular set of phases.
Well, it's also the turning point for the group, and I get that.
It is. It's the turning point for the Avengers.
You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because that leads into Civil War.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's bad, it just wasn't my favorite.
The action in it, the choreography,
was great.
Well, it also gave us a better view of Buddy.
Bucky.
Because I liked his character.
Yeah.
And
it also gave us a kind of a, I don't want to say darker, but a more human side of Steve Rogers.
Right.
Yeah. But Steve Rogers has never been, like, my favorite Avenger. Don't get me wrong. I have huge respect for Captain America. I loved every single movie in the universe.
I liked him better in, I will say that after Winter Soldier, in Civil War and on, Captain America was better.
Oh, yeah, because he was more,
so,
I'm not going to say violent.
He wasn't so
good and
goody.
Yeah,
he wasn't
so naive.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, he was actually kind of fun to watch.
He was more
but
human.
I very much enjoyed the Iron Man movies, so I'm probably always going to pick Iron Man.
Now, see,
Iron Man was good.
I did like Iron Man 2. But second on that list is this.
Yes.
Is Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
And it's very, and it's...
And I didn't realize
that. It's a close one.
Yeah, it's Doctor Strange.
If we're going to go in sequels, then this would actually probably be above Iron Man 2.
See, for me, it's Captain America, and just a hair below is Doctor Strange. Like, they're almost neck and neck. The only reason that I picked Captain America above Doctor Strange is because it is the pivotal point in phases 1 through 3 of the MCU. It is that moment that we see Captain America become something other than untouchable.
Right.
You know?
Someone else can touch me.
Someone else can beat the fuck out of him.
That's what I said.
And they did.
I have to say, like, the highway scene in Captain America 2 was my favorite scene in that movie.
Where Bucky catches the shield?
No, that was on the roof. Whenever he's standing on the highway and, like, starts shooting at him, jumps on top of the car, forces him out of the car, blows Steve Rogers off the actual highway. Then they get in that knife fight. Two super soldiers in a knife fight.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean... Like, left, right, super, super fast.
Yeah. The final battle, though, just insane.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the turning point. And this movie could be, I mean, this is only, we're only in phase 4 right now. So we've got many more movies to come.
Which is great, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But.
I love this movie. It's good.
Oh, it was great. I mean, We're just talking about the favorite second or sequel movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, solo say, sequel movie.
If we look at it, I would say that this for me would be my favorite, and then Iron Man 2. This for me, just because it was kind of something different.
Yeah.
You know, and I love Doctor Strange because he's just out there. Like,
he's just,
he does his own thing and doesn't give up. Fuck
penguins.
What anybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Penguins. You're right. You're right, dude.
What about that moment where he turned the water to wine? At the wedding.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Well, I mean, now you're getting into Thor Ragnarok over here. Where's that tea? He goes, not tea. And he like fills his cup up with beer.
Yeah,
and he drinks it, and you know, it's filling up again.
Yeah.
That's why I love him, though. He's kind of that outside. You got the Avengers, but then he's kind of over here. And he does his own thing. And, you know, it's that magic user, which I love. I don't know. He's one of my favorite characters, for sure.
I will say that Doctor Strange, and I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
He plays, I don't know what it is about the characters that he plays.
He's
but
good.
I don't know if you've ever seen Sherlock.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay. Because he just dives into Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, like he takes the character, I feel like he lives in the character, and then he brings the character out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Robert Downey Jr. He does the same thing.
Yes.
Look at him in Doolittle. Jesus Christ. The best Dr. Dealer ever was.
Okay, so let's so we've got a debate here now, because we've got two guys that absolutely immerse themselves into their roles. Okay, so now who was the better Sherlock Holmes, Robert Downey Jr. or Benedict Cumberbatch?
Listen, I have to give huge props to Robert Downey Jr. though, because Benedict Cumberbatch has just always been great. And Robert Downey Jr. had to come back from some serious shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
you can see Iron Man 1.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
His, we've talked about it before. His evolution in the MCU was incredible.
Yeah.
Because when he first came back, he was still unsure of himself. He was still battling a lot of demons. And same with, I mean, look at Sherlock. Sherlock is his demon.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have to give it to him. I love Benedict in that role.
Yeah.
Love him. But I have to give
it
to Robert Downey Jr.
What about you?
Oh, RDJ.
So I do love Benedict coming back as Sherlock. The only thing that kind of threw me off with that series was the fact that it was set in modern times.
Right.
It was a good adaptation. It was a great adaptation.
Absolutely.
My thing. With the RDJ movies.
But he catches the crazy, though. Like, he catches the crazy.
Of Sherlock Holmes. Okay.
Yes.
So, when I was a kid, and you're going to be surprised by this. When I was a kid, I used to read a lot. Like, a lot.
I don't know what's surprising.
And one of my absolute favorite series was the Sherlock Holmes. He was my, before I got into Stephen King, Sherlock Holmes, I read every single Sherlock Holmes book. Every single one of them. My favorite is Hound of Baskerville. And when I first watched Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr., I was like,
that's the person in my head.
That's who Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote.
Yeah, because,
that is who he is.
Because I feel like they very much toned down Sherlock and all of his issues with Benedict Cumberbatch, because the reality was that Sherlock was a drug user and an alcoholic. He's crazy as a fucking nutsack.
He was fucking bipolar.
Yeah, like, and Robert Downey Jr. took all of that in and made it his own.
And the thing that I, and we're getting off track, but that's okay. The thing that I loved most about those movies was that it showed how Sherlock's mind worked.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fight scene was my favorite
it
part.
It walked it through every step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fight scene was was my favorite part. You know, where he's talking about, you know, he's going to throw the haymaker, and I'm going to go
clap
the ears and do this and do that. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And you're like, I saw every single one of them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a look into Sherlock's mind.
Right.
And this dude, like, if you read the books, he is fucking out there. And,
oh, yeah.
And Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote him like that, you know? And he wrote him like that on purpose because that's, you know, kind of how people were.
He was a drug-induced alcoholic genius.
And the thing is he was using drugs and alcohol because he was a genius.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cocaine and, or snuff. It was snuff, but it's cocaine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's nicotine. You're getting off track.
Well.
It was cocaine and it was alcohol. And
he
self-medicated. And, you know, I do think that in light of his life.
You don't snort nicotine.
Snuff. Moist snuff is.
Well, no. Okay, so snuff originally was cocaine because you kept it in a snuff box. It was a snuff box.
Yeah.
And you open it up and you take it, go, snip it, close it.
Yeah,
you just get a pinch.
So I think in light of Robert Downey's past and his drugs of choice,
yeah,
you know, what a hard character to play one.
Oh, yeah.
Because of it. But what an amazing job he did with it.
So, and again, we're off track, but it's still on track. That's one of the things that I love about the MCU. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about Jon Favreau.
Yes.
Because Jon Favreau
is a good friend.
Went to Robert Downey Jr. and said, "Hey, I want you to play this guy." RDJ was like, "This Marvel's never going to let me. I'm blackballed."
Yeah.
I'm blacklisted in Hollywood. Jon Favreau went to Kevin Feige, who was the head of the Marvel Studios before it became Disney, because this is still before Disney bought Marvel Studios, went to him and said, "I'm going to make this movie. I'm putting this guy in it. You can be a part of it, or you could not." Kevin Feige was like, "Let's do it."
And it turned.
He was
the most amazing character.
Yeah.
He was
Tony Stark.
He was
perfect.
Yes, and watching him grow and change throughout all of those movies, because, I mean, he really was Robert Downey Jr. and an asshole in that first movie, and he was, you know.
And that's who Tony Stark is.
He was egotistical and rude, and then you watch him evolve, not only as a character, but as an actor, and it was amazing.
And as a person, because we've seen, like, video clips and TikToks of him.
He's great, too.
He is one of the most
wonderful human
phenomenal celebrities out there now. You know, like, you
Which
go
is
up
why
to him.
He's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
And he's not just super on screen. He is off screen, too.
Yeah.
Because people can now look up to what he hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And look how he turned out.
Look how he came back.
Yeah, like, he literally went to jail.
Yeah.
Oh, he looked like shit for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was blacklisted. And now he's one of the biggest stars in Hollywood.
And I hope he holds it together. I hope he does well for himself.
Oh, yeah.
That's why that first movie, because I was not looking forward to it. I was a little angry we were going to watch it because I wasn't looking forward to it. And then we watched it, and I was like, oh, my God.
This is great.
So I'll be honest. When the first Iron Man came out, because I had watched Robert Downey Jr. in other movies, U.S. Marshals and stuff like that, and he was a great actor. You know, and then, I read the tabloid, not the tabloid, but, read up on him. This was before we had the internet. Would read up on him a little bit, he got arrested for drugs and shit like that. And I'm like, that's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like you deserve to be blacklisted. I'm sorry. You do. Because of the shit that you were doing.
Yeah.
And then I saw the previews for Iron Man and I saw that he was in it. And I was like, you know what? I bet this is going to be good. This is going to be his comeback.
You ready for older?
Yeah.
I've seen years over that movie come out.
Fuck.
10 years old when Iron Man came out.
When did Iron Man come out?
Oh, wait.
That was before you and I got married.
Yeah, you made me watch it.
Yeah, because I had been watching them up until then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I made you catch up.
Yep. And I was not happy about it because there was a long time when we first started dating, every time we watched a movie. I was not a movie person. Every single time we would watch a movie, we would sit on the couch and I would fall asleep.
Yeah. And it would piss me off because I am trying to share my enjoyment with her.
I could not do it.
Until we started watching horror movies. She has not fallen asleep that time. She doesn't know what's going to happen. I have thrown some curveball movies at her. Okay. There's one scene I want to talk about before we get to the scene that I want to talk about.
There's a lot of them. You got to be more specific here.
The one scene that I was telling you about her reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there's one scene in the movie where, and I saw your reaction to it, and I heard your reaction, where they're in the universe where the incursion,
incursion
yeah. happened.
Two universes colliding.
Yeah, and you've got Doctor Strange with the third eye in there. And, okay, so before I get to the scene.
Talk about the fight scene?
I'm going to talk about the fight scene.
That was fucking
amazing.
That was like one of the, I told you that.
Yes.
And like right after, I was like, that was, if not, one of the best Marvel fight scenes.
That is the best. Not the best, but the most creative and innovative fight scene I have seen in a movie, period. Where he was throwing the notes.
Yeah.
Taking the notes off the pages and throwing them out.
And it has, like, the old music. Is that
the scene you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the scene right after that where the other Doctor Strange fell. And he impaled himself on the fence. So I'm sitting there, and I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I know it's coming. I had the same reaction in the theater. I know it's coming. And I'm sitting there, and out of the corner of my eye, I'm watching her. And she's just sitting there. She's like, okay, he's falling.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, splat on the fence. And you see the fence avail of it. The blood goes. She's like, ugh. She, like, jumped and, like, deeply inhaled.
Oh, my God.
And then she walks over to look at him.
And the third eye pops out. And she jumped a little bit. Not kidding you. She jumped a little bit. And I'm just sitting there in all of this glory, like, I knew this was going to happen. I'm waiting for her reaction. And I fucking loved it because that's the same reaction that I had. I was like, oh, my God.
I said,
this in a Marvel movie.
Honestly, how many times did you jump when you watched that movie? When you first saw it? I jumped one time. It got me. I think I told you about it already.
I think I might have jumped at the same spot. What part are you talking about?
When they're in one of his heads.
Yeah,
when
she
fucking
puts her hand out,
Jesus.
No.
The Scarlet Witch.
The one part that made us both jump, and you jumped too because I saw it, was Professor Xavier.
Yes.
And the red cloud came out, and all of a sudden the Scarlet Witch comes out, and she's like evil.
Yeah.
And just grabs his head and goes, snap.
Yeah, that.
Just seeing like the hands and nails and everything.
That
like,
part tore up my childhood. Yeah. Right there, because I grew up watching the X-Men cartoons. Love the X-Men cartoons. I still watch them on Disney Plus. But when she snapped his neck, that broke every bit of my childhood heart.
But you got to look at this, right? Out of everybody in the movie, he had the easiest death.
Yes.
One of the easiest deaths.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the lobby scene.
That was like,
I was like, fucking A, this is a Marvel movie.
Glorious hell.
Oh, God. The worst death in that scene has got to be Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Where he was literally
unraveling.
Yeah. He's just unraveling all of a sudden.
Turning into spaghetti.
Yeah. Or Black Bolt.
Do you know Black Bolt's entire costume was CGI? The entire process.
Really?
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, and that part got me too. I was expecting some big battle right there at the end. Like,
yeah.
You know, for him to shout, you know, her like throw up some kind of magic. All of a sudden,
he just fucked him up in the
air. He just took him out of the way. It just kaboom.
What
in his ass?
And he's like,
boom, poof.
Done.
I was like, he literally blew his own head off. What the fuck? And then you've got their version of Captain Marvel and Captain America just beating the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
And then
I can do this all day. Got that one line.
She
made a damn jetpack.
Yeah. Captain Carter. All of a sudden, the fucking
shield
just cuts her right in half. And I'm like, what the?
She soloed every one of them.
Yeah, she did.
Like it was nothing.
Captain Marvel's death was kind of weak. She literally got crushed to death.
And you
got to
keep in mind, though, she's only using half her power because the other half is her dreamwalking.
Yeah.
That's only half her power.
Yeah. Like, she fucked
if she
them
If she would have been there, you know, the Scarlet Witch in their universe, she killed all four of them like that.
Oh, yeah. She would have just snapped and they would all been done.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That was.
So, let's get to the burning question that Miss Angel has.
Favorite part of the movie.
Favorite part of the movie. I'm going to defer to you on this one first, Zach. I'm going to let you take this one.
Jesus.
I know, right?
I didn't even have time to think about this one.
I've been thinking about this whole time we've been talking, trying to figure out what is my favorite part of the movie?
Well, I will say my favorite fight scene was the musical fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part in the movie, I guess, is the zombie fight. Doctor Strange.
The and one part we didn't talk about, and I was waiting to get to it.
That's also my favorite part.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, too. The zombie Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
I loved it when Wong came up, though. He was like, I don't even want
to
know.
But every time, like, that shows the relationship, too.
Yeah.
In the past, every time he's about to perform a spell, he's like, no, don't do it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Then he gets apart, and he's like, I just don't even care anymore.
I just don't even want to know. Fucking zombie Doctor Strange comes. He's got this cape full of souls.
And that actually reminded me of someone else that was in Marvel. And I don't know if they were hinting at it or what. But Spawn.
Spawn is not Marvel. Spawn is...
Is he not Marvel?
No, he's actually Dark Horse. I think he... I don't think he's DC. He's Dark Horse.
Is he? I could have sworn
Yeah, because it's Todd McFarlane.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not Marvel. It's Dark Horse Comics, which is... owned by DC, but it's its own separate entity.
But, yeah, I mean, it reminded me of it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The cape of the damn souls.
Yeah, that was very, very much Spawn.
It was also very creepy because, like, they started coming out of his eye.
Yeah.
In the beginning of it.
Yeah. But that was absolutely fantastic. You know, he's like, but
there's no living human in your universe.
Who says it has to be living?
That's how you know, just the hand comes
His
out.
Hand goes out. I'm going to need you to protect me.
Yeah.
That was definitely Sam. That whole movie was so much a part of who Sam Raimi is and how he directs. It was
a gory and kind of a, you know, in horror-ish. Yes. But it was such a fun movie, too, to watch something different.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it that they did that. I just can't get over the zombie.
Yeah, I love the zombie.
Like, because, like, he's sitting there, too. Like, you know, you see his face. One part of his face here, and then all of a sudden you just see, like, the jaw on the teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
grr, grr.
It was great. Oh, Wong, you know, he's on the edge of the mountain.
I just don't even want to know.
We're not, like, whenever he, like, the... big monster, or whatever the fuck they are.
Yeah.
He throws a spear. Like, he didn't see it coming.
No, he's just like, ah, shoot.
And next thing you know, you see him flying in, and it just takes all of them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably my best part, my favorite part, and the best part of the whole movie was Zombie Doctor Strange.
Yes.
I will say, and you mentioned this, the first time we watched it, and then you mentioned it again today. There are so many callbacks in this movie to the What If television series. Captain Carter is one.
Zombies.
Zombies is another. There's another one in there.
There's one.
The Ultron bots.
Yeah, the Ultron bots for the Ultron.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that was the first one too, wasn't it? Right. I think that was the last one.
Yeah.
Episode 8.
Yeah. There's so many callbacks to the What If series, which is an animated series. And it's another one of those you got to get past the first couple of episodes to understand what the fuck is going on.
They did a really good job with that show.
Yeah. That's another one that dives into the multiverse.
Yeah.
That's all multiverse.
Yeah. Well, especially the end when he starts chasing them.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally jumping through, like, I don't even know if it's a universe. It's like a pocket dimension.
Yeah. So what did you think of the, and this is going to be the last question I have before we get into the final act. What did you think about the sequence of multiverses that they jumped through?
That's pretty cool. I did like the reference to the paint one. It's like, it's really hard to eat.
Were we paint there for a minute?
Yeah.
Yes. You don't want to go there. It's very hard to eat.
Well, I liked it, but at the same time, I hated it. Because... They probably went crashed to, I think, 15 or 16 universes, and it was all within, you know, seconds of each other.
Yeah.
There could have been hundreds of Easter eggs hinting at next movies or other movies.
Oh, I bet you there are.
I mean, like, you would literally have to go in slow motion, pause,
mm-hmm.
like, half frames,
mm-hmm.
just to get a glimpse.
So there are people that will watch these movies, and they're on YouTube. that will watch them at 0.5 speed, 0.25 speed.
Yeah.
Just to get these Easter eggs and references and stuff like that.
And, I mean, it you could have easily slipped something in there.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody would know.
Oh, yeah.
That MCU is infamous for that.
Yeah.
All the time throwing Easter eggs.
The dinosaur planet?
Yep.
Could very well be an Easter egg to, so in the X-Men cartoon, in the comic books, there's a, I don't remember what it's called. It's like the Lost Land or something like that. But Sinister, who is another mutant, is in charge of it. And it's a prehistoric era.
Okay.
He rules that land. I don't remember what it's called. Sinister is the ruler of that, and it is a prehistoric land. So that may not necessarily have been, like, a prehistoric universe. It could have just been that land that they went through.
And
it could be hinting at Sinister coming in.
There's also another one where, like, I think it was, like, a lava or, like, a fire one.
Yeah.
Mephisto.
Yeah, they did that twice.
Yeah.
Because that's where... America was going to throw Wanda.
Yep, at the very end.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking Mephisto on that one.
That's possible.
And then you know who that means.
Yep, Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Who cannot wait for have...
I can't wait to see him in the MCU.
A good, real depiction of him in the MCU.
Okay. It's that time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
Okay, Miss Angel, we're going to go with your final act tonight. Start with you. What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
I mean, initially when I went into the movie itself, I had a different idea of where the story was going. So that was surprising. But, I mean, overall, I liked all of the movie. I really don't have anything in the movie I didn't like. There are things that made me sad. You know, I didn't like seeing Wanda in that position because, you know, when we watch all of the other movies, not the show, but the other movies, you know, we knew her heart was broken over Vision, but she was a great hero.
Yeah.
And her importance in, like, you know, the final battle was so big.
Yeah.
So to see her in a different light, that was kind of hard. But, overall, the movie was fantastic. It was such a different direction for these films, and it was fun to see because it was such a different... I mean, who has zombies in the movie? It was awesome.
Yep.
I didn't quite understand the role of America. I'm assuming she'll, you know, play a bigger role in other movies as we're bringing a new generation in. Her powers were pretty cool, though. I don't know about her yet. As an actress, also, like, I'm just not sure about her yet.
Okay.
While she was a main character, I didn't feel like she took over the screen very well. She didn't command.
I can see that. I can see that. She was a little stiff interacting.
She was a little shy interacting.
Yeah.
I'd like to, you know, I hope it gets better. We've seen, obviously, on the other side of the hero universes, over in DC, we've seen people that were supposed to be great completely fail.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that happen here.
Okay.
I would absolutely recommend it, especially to Marvel fans, because if you've been watching this whole universe unfold, you don't want to miss it. Plus, Doctor Strange is fucking amazing. Like, who doesn't want to watch another Doctor Strange movie? Come on. And I will hopefully watch it again. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen earlier MCU movies. That I'd love to see again. Sometimes it's hard to find time in the day, but I would like to watch this one again.
Okay. Zach, your final act.
What I liked about this movie, just about everything. I mean, I could watch it over and over and over and not get tired of it, just basically because it's an MCU movie for one, and nobody will ever be able to catch all the Easter eggs hidden in those movies. The only bad thing I can say, and to me it's kind of my own conspiracy theory, is the events that took place in Multiverse of Madness basically was just a big axe throw to Endgame. Because none of that could have happened. I mean,
yeah.
He said there's one out of, what, 1 million something different ways to beat Thanos. But clearly that was wrong.
Right.
I mean, you could think about, I could think about 10 other ways to beat it, but that's just me.
Right, but it was for that universe, because that's what he was time traveling.
Correct. But, again, it's basically just saying, you know, that didn't have to go that way.
Right.
I mean, I understand why they went that way, because, you know, RDJ signed a contract with Marvel.
Yeah.
And that was just going to be his last one either
yeah.
way. I'm assuming the same thing is for Captain America.
Yeah.
He signed a contract.
Chris Evans, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the only bad thing I can say about it. But overall, it was a great movie. Would I watch again? Hell yeah.
So, the only thing that I can say negative about this movie is that it was short. I would have liked a...
It was 40 minutes. Will, like those 40 minutes.
You know, there's like 40 minutes in like every other movie, too.
Yeah, but this was only 2 hours. For a Marvel movie, it was incredibly...
Short.
Yeah.
Yeah, most... Yeah. Well, modern. Newer Marvel movies. If you look at like Iron Man and those,
like
they were about
hour,
2 hours.
I think...
Hour 45,
I think
2 hours.
Iron Man was like hour 40 minutes or
so. Yeah. But for a pretty big Marvel movie,
yeah.
they're usually about 2 hours, 15, 2.5 hours.
Three hours off.
yeah. I mean, if you look at in Endgame was almost 3 hours long.
I think it was right at 3 hours.
It might have been. But I would have liked a little more essence to the movie. Overall, like, I love this movie. This is probably, like I said at the beginning, this is a top five in my Marvel movies. I love the fact that Sam Raimi directed it. I love the fact that they went a little darker. You know, because...
You think your superhero movie, especially Marvel, called Pretty and Sunshine, and DC is just dark and dirty.
Yeah, and...
It's a change-up.
Alex, my other co-host on Cinephiles, we've talked about that. You know, Marvel is this bright, colorful kind of geared...
This universe is fun and rainbows. Nobody can ever die.
Kind of geared more for adolescents.
Right.
You know, I don't want to say it's geared for kids, but that's what Marvel is geared towards. You know, the comic books. Yeah, family friendly. When you look at DC, it's always been the darker version of
the superhero
genre. You know, I mean, it's always been darker. You know, you have main characters that die.
Yeah.
And not just, oh, I was saving the universe. No, you look at,
I mean, look at any of the Batmans, for example.
Well, you
I
look
mean,
at,
he
yeah.
beats the shit out of them. Like,
you look at,
you don't just slap cuffs on them and off you go. It's like, you're waking up with 8 broken bones, 2 black eyes.
If we look at Jason Todd.
Yes.
And we look at, Jason Todd, who was Robin after Dick Grayson. We look at him in the comics. We look at him in Titans. We look at him in some of the other movies and stuff like that.
Even the game, because it's so...
Yeah. Yeah, like, he dies.
Yeah.
Violently. Like, the Joker beats the fuck out of him with a crowbar.
Yeah.
And that's dark and violent. You know? And, you know, you've got two sides of the same coin. Well, now, with this movie, now you've got a little bit of that DC-esque creeping into Marvel, which I love, you know, because I do love the darker elements of it. That's why I love The New Mutants so much, because
yeah.
it is a darker movie. It's a genuine horror movie.
It's meant for the older generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say older generation. I'm part of that older generation now.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, and it appeals to, Marvel is starting to appeal to all types of moviegoers now.
yeah.
You know, especially with this movie. This movie is a step in a different direction for Marvel, and I like that. This movie opens up so many worlds now.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is basically what it was for.
I mean, you can bring in John Krasinski as
And I hope they do.
I really hope they do. Although he's gotten so much shit for being Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Apparently these assholes that are like, oh well, you know, he was only good in The Office and blah blah blah. I've never seen A Quiet Place.
Or Benghazi,
yeah. But he wrote and directed.
That's what I'm saying.
He's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, then we've got Patrick Stewart as
reprise his role.
Yeah, he can reprise his role. You can bring in James McAvoy as Professor X.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are so many opportunities. I mean, we can bring in Deadpool for God's sakes now. You know,
yes.
You've got in the Multiverse of Madness, which is dark and gory and stuff like that. Now we can start to bring Deadpool into the MCU because, you know, it's just that next step over the line.
And I think we had this talk a while back, but like, you know, you get your heroes, your villains, and then you have the people's favorite anti-heroes.
Yeah.
Because they're more relatable.
Yeah. And now
you can bring those in now.
And now we can have a good Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
You know, because they tried that with X-Men Origins, and it just wasn't quite there. But now we can expand the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm happy for that because I want to see the Fantastic Four. I want to see the X-Men. You know, I want to see these other heroes other than just the Avengers.
Yeah, see these heroes that a lot of people forget are part of the MCU.
Yeah, Daredevil's part of the MCU now. We know that.
Punisher's
part of the MCU.
Hopefully bring Venom in.
Yeah.
I mean...
And we know that Wilson Fisk is part.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's like a lot of people usually forget. Kingpin.
Yeah, Kingpin. We know that the Netflix Daredevil series is now part of the MCU.
Thanks to Hawkeye.
Yeah. Thanks to Hawkeye and No Way Home.
Yep.
Because Charlie Cox was in No Way Home.
Yep.
And that's what I love about this movie. You know, this movie is a turning point in this phase.
Yeah.
You know, this opens up opens every door for the MCU now. Obviously, I'm going to watch it again. I have watched every Marvel movie at least 3 or 4 times over. You know, just because, oh, I'm bored, I'm going to watch Doctor Strange. Or I'm on a road trip. You know, and I want to watch a movie. I'm going to watch a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm bored. It's fine. So, let's go Marvel. I know it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah. We've got no customers tonight. Let's put on a Marvel movie.
Yeah, Marvel.
You know?
Bullshit.
But I really, and that's what I love about this movie. You know, I know I've said that multiple times. It's a great movie. It's a darker movie. And it opens up every door within the MCU. Every door in the MCU now
is open.
Yep. The ones that, you know, Disney has the rights to because they don't have the rights to Spider-Verse yet.
Yeah, that's
coming.
Starting
I guarantee that. You that's coming. Sony's holding out as long as they can, but
Marvel's slowly creeping to the door.
Disney's slowly knocking on that door.
Yeah, yeah.
They will own the rights to Spider-Man and they will bring all those properties over to Disney Plus.
Great.
That's going to be huge. Would I recommend it? Absolutely. You know, if you're a Marvel fan, you got to watch it. I mean, that's a guarantee.
Yeah, of course.
You know, if you're a Doctor Strange fan, you got to watch it. If you're a fan of fantasy, you know, dark fantasy action movies, you got to watch it.
Fan of Sam Raimi.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Sam Raimi, you got to watch it. It's one of his best works.
Absolutely, especially after being gone for so long.
Well,
it
wasn't really gone. He was just trying to...
Shadows.
Well, not really, because after... after Spider-Man 3, he did Drag Me to Hell. He wrote... Hold on.
No, I seen that one.
Let's go back to director. Real quick.
This is the first thing since Oz.
So after Army of Darkness, after Spider-Man 3, he did Drag Me to Hell, Oz the Great and Powerful, and he did some TV shows here and there.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the first motion picture, though, since Oz, and
yeah.
It's a nice comeback.
It is. Right. It's a great comeback. I mean, even Drag Me to Hell was a great redemption from Spider-Man 3. But,
yeah, which was his, you know, crowning point of, I don't want to do superhero movies anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But it's and the thing is you can watch this movie with very little reference to the MCU, you know, and that's with any MCU movie,
oh, yeah.
Really. But if you've watched the shows, if you've watched the movies, if you, you know, if you're religious like me, the only show I haven't watched is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I got bored with it, but I'm going to watch it again. Then everything in this movie, it's a culmination. You know, you've got What If, you've got WandaVision,
yep.
You've got Loki. Yeah, everything is, they're all interconnected and intertwined, and you know, you're like, oh my God, I saw that here, I saw that there. I know what this is. I know what's going on. You know, you've got that. It's like you've read every book in a series, and everything goes back to every book, and you know.
It takes chapters out of every book, and then at the end, you're like, oh, shit, like, finally clicks. That means this.
Yeah, if you watch What If, and you're like, okay, this was a cool show.
Yeah.
But then you've got Captain Carter and Zombie Strange, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The MCU, I love you, but what the fuck?
Yeah.
Which
makes me really curious as to what's going to be in Thor 4.
Love and Thunder, that comes out this Saturday.
Friday.
Yes, it comes out Friday, sorry. Wow. We're going to go try and see it Saturday. Hopefully, maybe.
But I mean, like, there's no telling how many things are going to happen with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to the movie already.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's anything like Doctor Strange, with all the little, like, what if they pulled and everything else they referred and reprised and all that, it's going to be a great movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. All right, we are down to the last couple minutes of the show. I want to thank my, you know, host with me tonight for joining me. So this is a holiday weekend. This is 4th of July. From me personally, I want to say with every ounce that I have, please be careful. I have literally seen what happens when you are not careful with fireworks. I have seen a guy that literally blew his hands apart.
Remember, that includes things like rubbing candles and shit, people. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
That means no M82 wars. I used to do them as a kid, and I'm so glad I still have all my fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. But then don't shoot Roman candles at each other, because that's just fucking stupid.
I mean, even holding them. You still need to be careful.
Yeah.
I've done just about every kind of war with fireworks you can, and I'm still here, surprisingly.
Yeah. But that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
I've literally seen
don't
a guy's hands turned into hamburger because of alcohol and fireworks. It does not mix.
And when you're drinking and barbecuing and having a good time, please remember that your little people, they don't move very quickly.
Yeah.
So handing them a punk and saying, go light fireworks, might not be the best decision.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. And as always, I say this from the entire studio, from the entire network, from all of Wicked Curiosity Media, please, especially this weekend, be safe. We want you back here every time that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast, which is currently on hiatus. Every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Note by Note. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you to all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We greatly appreciate you guys. Have a fantastic rest of your Sunday night. Have a fantastic 4th of July weekend. I know I will. I am off tomorrow. I am off Tuesday for recovery.
Because we're going to drink.
Yeah.
I'm going to be drinking tomorrow, too. Yeah, I promise y'all that.
But we have things and people in place that, you know, will be able to help us if we get too drunk and stupid. People that will literally knock us out and put us to bed if we are being dumb.
Or
will tackle us. And drown us in the pool, drag us in the pool, or tackle us if we're being unsafe.
Yes.
We have designated sober people.
Yes.
So there's always that. We make sure we're safe so that we can be back here for you guys. With that being said, we love you guys. Again, have a fantastic rest of your Sunday night. Have a fantastic week. Have a fabulous 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. We love you guys. Have a good night.
Good
night. I know.
What
I know.
The fuck?
I don't know.
Wow.
Word diarrhea.
Good night. Happy 4th of July. Love you.
No Bob Rock War, no PVC.
We love you guys. Wars. Be safe. We love you guys. Be safe.
No firework wars of any kind.
All right. Later.
See you later, buddy. Be here next week. Hopefully. Maybe. Come join us Sunday where we're going to be talking about the new Thor. Come out.